Laughter, shrill and maniacal, sweeps out of me. You can't be serious. Why does this asshole care? His spicy cologne and smug smile take me back to the days and weeks after that dreadful day at his house. The messages he left on my phone. Those stupid bouquets of carnations. How he kept trying to track me down at work. Are you jealous I'm with Ethan? He scoffs, but there's that weird tick in his jaw.
Just saying, when it goes to hell here, you know who you can turn to.
Yeah, no. Outside the window, guests are leaving. A steady stream of voices leads around the side of the house to the cars parked out front. Thank God, let this day end. The back door opens, and several sets of footsteps echo closer. My heart is in my throat when I see that it's Ethan, Allison, and Felicia. Jamie's wife watches me warily as she strides up to her husband and wraps her arm around his waist.
Boo, Allison and I were saying we should go on a double date while we're still in town, for old time's sake.
Jamie's 1,000-watt, full-of-bullshit smile lights up.
Definitely.
Needing to see his reaction despite the dread building in my belly, I glance at Allison and Ethan across the island. She tugs on his arm and stares up at him.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Confusion etches across Ethan's face, and he removes her hand.
Allison, I don't think that's...
Her other hand slithers up his chest, and a pout forms on her lips as she leans closer to him. My vision hazes red like that elevator scene from The Shining. Get your fucking hands off him! The words are out of my mouth before I can think better of it. And now that I've started, I can't stop. You had your chance with him, and you walked away from him and your kids, you selfish bitch. Everyone stares at me, mouths open, eyes wide. Let them stare. It takes a second for her to gather herself, and I can almost see her talons extend, but I also see victory in her eyes. She wants this. She's been waiting to strike like a viper.
Guess what, you slut? Now that I'm a partner on this ranch, you're fired, so get your shit and your trampy ass out of my house. This is my kitchen. Those are my kids. This is my husband.
Ethan rears back like someone slapped him.
Allison, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Little feet come padding down the hall, interrupting him. Mila immediately hugs Allison.
What's wrong, Mommy?
With a dramatic sniffle, Allison wipes her eyes.
I'm just trying to make Daddy see how much I love you guys.
Oh my God. This woman has no limits. I've never seen her extend one compassionate gesture to her kids or husband in private. Allison turns to Ethan.
Didn't you tell me you'd do anything to have me back? That you'd do anything for their kids to have their mommy home? Didn't you say they cry at night because they miss me so much? We could end all of that right now.
Ethan glances down at his daughter, a pained expression on his face. The tick-tock of the clock on the wall swells in my ears as he stands still and I silently beg him to say something, anything. Chuckling, Jamie smirks at me and stretches an arm around his wife.
Gotta say, man, I'm kinda surprised you hired Tori. What with her record and all. Hope you didn't let her drive the kids anywhere.
What? My voice is fragile, like spun glass. One misstep and I'll break apart. Why would he bring that up? He knew how mortified I was about that time in my life. His wife sneers like she just stepped in a steamy pile of horse shit.
I thought you needed certain standards to hold this kind of job.
Sorry, Tori, Jamie says, as though the man feels even a hint of remorse. Want to make sure my friends know the real you. Know that they're getting a college dropout who partied so hard she nearly killed a carload of her friends when they were out joyriding. Not sure that's the kind of woman I'd hire to watch my children.
The gasp I hear is mine.
because that's a version of the truth, but it's distorted and ugly. It's my life, the blood and guts of it all smeared and inside out, like some victim of a horror movie. For a second, I can't breathe. I'm underwater, sinking, sucking in water, suffocating. I open my mouth, but nothing comes out. I don't know how to explain what really happened, how to untangle the thread of truth from the ball of lies Jamie just threw in my face. Absurdly, my thoughts go to that astronomy course I nearly failed, of the way planets collide so powerfully, they rip apart time, gnawing it open with their jaws. I wonder if this is how it feels to be trapped in that kind of wreckage. Like noiseless, dark energy sparking out of existence. Ethan's voice slices through the overwhelming silence in the room, but it's not the voice of my boyfriend. It's the man who interviewed me months ago. Harsh, demanding, angry.
What's he talking about, Tori?
My eyes dart between everyone in the room. Ethan, who's pissed and confused, whose eyes beseech me to tell him that Jamie's lying, that beg me to tell him he knows the real me. Allison, who's triumphant and conniving and likely planning my slow death. And Jamie, who's arrogant and so fucking pleased with himself he's practically levitating off the ground. It's his haughty smirk that pushes me over the edge. I'm a car skidding off a cliff, tires squealing, dirt flying, engine roaring. I'm that girl. Again. The one who loses control and veers off the road, untethered and unmoored. Reckless. But if I'm going down, I'm taking that asshole with me. Chapter 51. Tori. Flushed and feverish, I kneel down in front of Mila. Honey, go find Uncle Logan. Stay with him, okay? I don't understand how I channel a gentle tone with Mila when the storm of emotion whipping through me is cresting. She nods and skips off, completely ignoring Allison when she tells her to stay. As I stand, I point to the path Mila took out the back door. That's what happens when you ignore your kids, Allison. They ignore you. My voice gains strength. And you can sweep in here and pretend like you're mother of the year for all your friends, but let's get one thing straight. I know you're a shitty parent. But worse, so do Mila and Cody, and they're the only ones who matter. It's her turn to sputter, but I ignore her and turn to Ethan. The distance in his eyes is devastating, but when he doesn't come to Allison's defense, I take that as a small victory and plow forward. Deep down, though, I'm preparing for the death blow to my heart when he learns the truth. The question you should be asking is how Jamie knows so much about me. His attention shifts to his friend, and I continue, my anger rising. The question you should be asking is why Jamie cares. By the way, I'm calling him Jamie because that's what he told me to call him during the 6 months we dated. Ethan's eyes cut back to mine, his nostrils flaring. I didn't know he was married. I didn't know he had children. I didn't know because he lied about everything. Behind me, Felicia gasps. He and his wife shouting I'm a liar and a whore and a cunt, but I ignore them. This isn't about them. This is about Ethan understanding. Remember when I told you about my ex? I remind him. Yes, part of what he told you about my past is true, which is why I never drove your kids anywhere except the one time you insisted. She's lying, Felicia screeches. James has never cheated on me. Looking over my shoulder, I shrug. Jamie's pale as I tell his wife the truth. Then ask him how I know you have a tattoo of a fairy on your lower back, just above the dimple on your ass. Ask him how I know he bought you tickets to a Rangers game for his birthday last year. Ask him about how you came home early that day,
How he shoved me in your bedroom closet so he could protect his dirty secret. Why he nearly choked you on his dick when I walked out to confront him. I'd felt unhinged when I finally gathered myself and stormed out of that closet, ready to tear into him, his marriage be damned. But one look at their naked bodies before me, closer this time, with his wife in his lap, taking him down her throat, and I was rendered speechless. I'd thought, that could be me, completely clueless. The dirtbag had moaned loudly, shoving her down hard to distract her from my presence. In the moment, my rage deflated, and all I felt was resignation. He was an asshole. Her asshole. And she was welcome to have him. In the 2 seconds I stood there, all of the crazy I'd planned to unleash fell by the wayside. I didn't need any more problems. But that didn't stop me from slashing his tires. I clear my throat. If he did that with me, how many other times has he cheated?
Motherfucker.
Ethan growls behind me, and my skin prickles. You little psycho, Felicia wails. You're the one who vandalized his car. Guilty as charged. I hold up my hands and return my focus to Ethan. I'm a lot of messed up things, but I always cop to what I've done. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about my driving record. At first, I thought you hadn't done my background check because I was only supposed to be here temporarily while you found a real nanny through an agency. Then I hoped my sister had warned you, because she does that. She cleans up my messes and gets me jobs. I swallow, knowing how badly I've screwed up. But when you kept offering me your truck, when you told me to drive the kids, I got too afraid to ask what you knew. Too much time had gone by, too many opportunities to tell you about my past. Too many intimate moments. Tears burn in my eyes, and I swipe at them with the back of my hand. I can't explain how you looked at me, but for the first time, I wasn't a screw-up. You didn't see me the way my family does. A mess, a flunky, a basket case. And I didn't want to mess this up, too. You and Mila and Cody were too important to me. Ethan's expression is blank.
So tell me now. Tell me what happened.
Are you serious? Allison blows out a breath. She's endangered the lives of our children. No, I didn't endanger your kids. I drove them once. Once. Under the speed limit for all of 2 miles, and Logan drove them home. Angrily, I wipe at another tear. Here's the truth. I got a DUI my freshman year of college for driving my friends with open containers in the car. We drag raced through some back roads we thought were empty, and they were empty, except for that state trooper who pulled me over. No one was injured, though. Even though Jamie made it seem like I had run over a busload of kids. Awkwardly, I shift on my feet. I had a few beers that night, but the breathalyzer showed that I was 0.05 over the drinking limit. Plus, I was underage and drag racing, all stupid shit on my part. I spent a night in jail, lost my license for a while, let my life fall apart. Wasn't the last time, either. I glare at Jamie. I wish freshman year had taught me a lesson. While I never drove under the influence again, I partied away most of college like an idiot. Partied and worked to pay off my attorney bills. You'd think one night in county would teach me, but it took getting screwed over by Jamie for me to take a long, hard look at my life and try to make some lasting changes. Allison moves close to Ethan before she narrows her eyes at me. You need to leave. Now. Ethan looks shell-shocked, like the news of me having an affair with his friend and my arrest have shattered his impression of me. With a trembling hand, I touch his chest. I keep my eyes pinned to the collar of his t-shirt. I never meant to keep any of this from you. And I'm sorry if you feel like I've lied. That was never my intention.
Finally, I brave a glance in his raging blue eyes. They're the color of the sky during a storm. But I would suffer through all of that humiliation again if it brought me back to you. Tell me you love me. Tell me we're okay, that we'll get through this, that you forgive me. He clears his throat and reaches for me, his touch gentle on my shoulder.
Tori,
Daddy! Mila's wailing, frantic as she skids into the kitchen. Daddy! Cody fell! He's hurt real bad! Logan says it's an emergency! 1 minute, Ethan's staring at me with so much emotion in his eyes, I want to weep. The next, he's gone, picking up his daughter and racing out the back door. I watch it slam shut. When I make sense of what just happened, that the baby is injured, I start to follow, but Allison grips my arm, digging her nails into my skin. Her voice, toxic and bloodthirsty, is in my ear. Get the fuck out of my house before I call the police, unless you'd like another arrest on your record. She rattles off things she could lie about, that I stole jewelry or hurt the children or did drugs. I'm standing there in stunned silence when two large hands grab me from behind and drag me down the hallway where I'm shoved out the front door. I land on my ass and gasp for breath because the wind gets knocked out of me. White spots dot my vision as I stare up at Jamie's furious face, but I'm scrambling back toward my car, ignoring the voices, ignoring the yelling. Although everything in me is screaming to check on Cody, he's with his dad, and Ethan will know what to do. There's no one better to take care of the baby. Jamie reaches for me again, his hulking figure something straight from my nightmares, and I stumble for my car. I have to get away before he does something worse than push me. I need the one person who's always had my back. My sister.
Chapter 52. Tori.
Does it hurt? Kat's sweet voice washes over me. I'm too weary to sugarcoat it tonight. Yeah. My sister looks weepy as she stares at the angry purple bruises painting both of my biceps. I don't tell her about the one on my ass. But I'm okay. Physically, at least. I'm sprawled out on the couch in her living room, and Brady is pacing back and forth in front of us.
That goddamn asshole. I'm gonna rip his arms off his fucking body.
Brady didn't take any of this well, especially not the part where Jamie picked me up and physically threw me out of the house. I appreciate the sentiment, but you will do no such thing. I motioned to Kat's enormous belly. Stork alert. We got a baby about to land over here. You ending up in jail is not the way to kick things off. And we both know you're the one who bails me out, not the other way around. Neither of us laugh at my lame joke. I have to keep Brady out of trouble, though. He's been there for me too many times over the years to let him get tangled up in my mess. The mention of babies has me thinking about Cody, and I blink back the heat in my eyes. I hope he's okay, that whatever happened tonight wasn't too serious. Have you called Ethan? My sister asks. I shake my head, hot tears stinging my cheeks. The truth is, I've been too scared to call. I know I should be brave, but I'm tired. So fucking tired. I don't have the heart to chase after Ethan. I've laid it on the line, and if he wants me, he knows where to find me. But he doesn't call. My phone sits still on the coffee table, its black screen taunting me. Eventually, I stop checking it. Kat lets me cry on her shoulder, and tonight I don't hold back. Tonight, it's a dark torrent, this love, full and unyielding, crashing through me and carving out the last tender parts of my heart. I let it cut.
because when it's done, I won't wallow. I won't let myself fall apart over another man. Not again. Not ever. With a final click of the mouse, I force myself to smile. This is good, I remind myself. It doesn't matter that I feel like death, because I'm moving forward. I've registered for my classes this fall, and that's positive. Yes, I'm utterly heartbroken that Ethan and I are probably over. And while I'd love to curl up in a ball for the next week and eat my weight in ice cream, I won't let myself go that route. Ignoring my swollen, itchy eyes, I set Kat's laptop on the kitchen table and reach for her hand. Thanks, I whisper. For everything. Anytime. I mean that. She looks exhausted, and I feel guilty for bawling all over her last night, but that's what sisters are for, right? I know you do. That's why you're my favorite sister. We smile at each other like fools.
Morning.
Brady comes stomping in and pauses when he sees us. I wave him in. I'm done crying. You can do whatever you have to do. He tells Kat he needs to pick up his check at the tattoo parlor in Austin, and then he'll get Izzy from his parents' house.
It shouldn't take longer than 2 hours.
Worry knits his brows.
But maybe I should ask one of the guys to drop off the check.
I squeeze my sister's hand. I've got Kat. If anything happens, I'm right here. He frowns, and I mock being offended. What? I watch all those medical shows. Grey's Anatomy, reruns of ER, House. I got you, bro. Plus, my parents are driving up later today. They want to be here the moment this baby arrives. Still frowning, he kisses his wife's forehead.
You sure you're okay? You moaned all night.
Oh my God, you guys. I cover my ears. Too much information. Brady snickers and shakes his head.
She was moaning because she's so pregnant, doofus, not because I was giving her the Midnight Express.
Lol. Thank God. My sister laughs. I don't think you're supposed to say lol in person. Says who? I do things my way. You do it yours. I'm difficult, but she knows this. Brady eventually leaves after we assure him again that Kat's fine. The first half hour alone goes well. We drink this weird ginger pregnancy tea, and I make my sister some scrambled eggs. But then my luck goes south. Really south. Because her water breaks. Kat looks at me like I'm crazy.
Let's just wait for Brady.
He's probably in Austin right now, and your contractions are 5 minutes apart. 5. Why didn't you tell me your back hurt all night?
I didn't think they were contractions.
Her voice is wheezy since she's trying to breathe through the pain. Look, I'm driving you to the hospital. It'll be fine. If we hurry, we'll beat the noon rush. Bet you can pop out this baby before dinner. I'm a speed demon when I want to be, remember? We can drag race on the way there. Her death grip on my hand makes me pause.
Stop trying to be funny.
I'm not trying. I'm naturally funny. Now get your ass in the truck. Come on, I'll help you waddle. In the meanwhile, hopefully, Brady will get my messages and haul himself back here. Except, shit, now we're headed to the hospital. Whatever, one crisis at a time. We only make it to the Lone Star Diner when I have to pull over because Kat says she has to push. All I know is that's bad. I run into the packed restaurant screaming like a crazy person. I need a doctor, a nurse, a paramedic, someone who knows more than McDreamy references. Everyone stares at me. Fuck my life, nothing ever works like it does in the movies. Rounding the truck, I open the passenger door. How you doing? Sweat beads her forehead, and she reaches for me with a clammy hand.
Baby's coming. Like, now.
Can't freak out. Can't. Cannot. Everything's gonna be okay. I don't recognize my voice because inside I'm losing my shit. Ambulance is on its way. The Texas heat sears into me as I bounce on my toes with nervous energy and yank my hair into a massive bun on top of my head. Why did I tell Brady to go? Why? A small audience gathers behind me, patrons from the restaurant and some neighbors. Scanning the faces, I spot one of the waitresses. Get me some clean towels and some hot water. Maybe a glass of ice water, too. Oh, and a clean turkey baster. She nods like this makes perfect sense, and I ignore the strange look on my sister's face. No need to tell her what that last item is for. Let's get you more comfortable. I release the lever for Kat's seat and shift the whole contraption back as slowly as possible before I recline her. Better?
Yeah.
Her pasty pale complexion freaks me out. She might be the one in labor, but I have to remind myself to breathe too. I feel bad that she's sitting here with a towel under her ass like a diaper and half of our town is watching this go down. Ugh, the indignity of childbirth. Please don't poop, Kat. I know you'll never forgive me for dropping a deuce in front of so many people. The waitress runs up to me with the supplies I asked her for, and I lean over my sister and set everything on the driver's seat except for the ice water, which I offer to Kat to drink.
Tori!
Goosebumps race up and down my arms. That voice. When I see Ethan stalking toward me, weaving through the crowd, my knees almost buckle. It takes 2 seconds to shake myself out of it. Fuck that. I don't have time to deal with him right now, even though my heart can't decide if I'm elated to see him or so fucking mad I want to sock him in the nuts.
What's going on?
He asks over my shoulder. I snort. What does it look like? Kat's having her baby. Duh. I roll my eyes. As discreetly as possible, I reach for the container of hand sanitizer and squirt it all over myself. When Kat sees what I'm doing, her eyes widen.
Why do you need that?
In the event you pop out a living, breathing human before the paramedics arrive, I thought I should have clean hands, so I can catch him. Or her. Damn it, why didn't I bring any blankets? I used to play basketball in high school. I got you, babe. I don't remind her that I sucked at basketball and all that dribbling. I'm not good with big balls. I'm too freaked out to mentally snicker at my dirty joke. When her next contraction overwhelms her, a warlike shriek breaks from her lips, making me jump. But Ethan places a warm hand on my shoulder. I clench my eyes shut and say a prayer for Kat and this baby. That they're okay, that I can get them through this. We can do this. I tell everyone behind me to back off, because I need to protect the sanctity of my sister's vag, and Ethan helps me, making sure no one can see into the cab of the truck. I hoist up Kat's butt so I can push down her soggy underwear, which is tough to do standing outside the passenger side, leaning in, but it's not like there's an easier way. She lifts her swollen legs, balancing her feet on the edge of her seat, and grunts.
Where's Brady?
She's crying and trembling. Ethan leans over my shoulder.
He's coming. I just talked to him.
Holding her hand, I start spouting nonsense to distract her. I can't believe you didn't tell me you lost your mucus plug. I thought sisters were supposed to tell each other everything. She sniffles in between contractions.
How do you know about mucus plugs?
Google. I told you I was studying up on pregnancy. You're my big sister, my only sister. You think I'm going to let you pass a beach ball through your hoo-ha and not research it? Hello, I'm true blue. Ethan mumbles something behind me that sounds like,
you are.
But I don't have time to figure it out because my sister is pushing and bawling and sweating. So much sweating. Do you want to squat? I hear squatting is a thing. It's all natural and helps get more oxygen to the baby. And like,
Women drop trow in the Amazon, squat, and squirt out their babies, but, you know, without the actual squirting. Hopefully. Please, Jesus, no squirting. Stop making me laugh. She smacks me, and I flinch because she nailed that bruise on my arm. But she probably doesn't know it because my t-shirt has 3/4-length sleeves. Yes, I want to squat. Help me. It's a tough squeeze because she's carrying a Goliath-sized child, but I help her plant her feet on the floor and wedge her body between the seat and the dash. Pausing, she pulls me close until we're eye to eye. Damn, she's strong for a pregnant lady. Catch the baby, or else. On my life, I'll catch this baby. Truer words were never spoken. Reaching underneath her, I ignore the weird gush of fluid and hope I don't catch a turd instead of a child. Holy shit, I'm really doing this. Another contraction makes Kat wobble, but Ethan reaches over my shoulder and steadies her. She eyes me warily. Sorry, this is so gross. It is gross, but it's okay. I love you. Just don't forget to name the baby after me. No more jokes. I can't help it. Her face goes red with another contraction. More screaming and crying. And then a wet, squelching plop. I fumble, but only a smidge, because I promised my sister. Checking between the baby's legs, I smile through my tears. I have a niece. And I caught her with a prayer and my bare hands like a freaking wide receiver. I am officially a badass. And then Tori sucked the fluid out of the baby's mouth with a turkey baster, my sister exclaims while she snuggles baby Annabelle Victoria Shepherd to her chest. She was amazing. Everyone in the hospital room stares at me. Brady, his parents, my parents, Ethan. I avert my teary eyes. My mother crosses herself.
Gracias a Dios que estabas con tu hermana, Victoria.
She thanks God I was with my sister.
Yes, mija. We're so glad you were there.
Dad gives me a weird side hug.
If anyone could do this, it's you. You were always the brave one, always so bold and strong.
Wait, what? Dad smiles at Ethan.
But you know you have your hands full with this one, right?
I look away, not wanting to see Ethan's expression. It's still too painful. My parents don't know we broke up. I mean, I guess we broke up. Ethan never came to see me last night, and now that the adrenaline from the live birth experience is waning, all the reasons why I'm pissed at him are falling into place like a game of Tetris. So I'm shocked, stunned, when Ethan pulls me to his chest and kisses my forehead.
Well, I love her, so I'll gladly take whatever she's offering.
I shove him away. Now? You tell me that now? My dad laughs and pats him on the back.
Good luck with my little fireball.
We need to talk. Angrily, I poke Ethan in the chest, and everyone behind me chuckles, except Brady. I'm pretty sure if he weren't about to cradle his baby, he'd be in Ethan's face right now for letting Jamie treat me like shit. I give my brother-in-law a look. I got this.
Chapter 53. Ethan. Tori marches out of the hospital room and into the hall, breathing flames of fury and looking so damn beautiful she takes my breath away. Even with God knows what on her t-shirt and her half-skewed hair bun. My heart's been in my throat all morning. I need to talk to her. Want to wrap my arms around her and explain. I was frantic to find her, racing back to her sister's house only to spot Kat's truck in the parking lot of the diner. Since then, well, Kat giving birth took precedence. In the hall, I pause at the nurse's station to swipe an extra set of scrubs. Tori, wait! Reluctantly, she slows down, but doesn't turn to look at me. I get it. I fucked up last night. Just, I need to explain. Jogging, I catch up to her and drag her into an empty room and close the door behind us. It's quiet here in the maternity ward, and I don't bother turning on the lights. I'm half afraid they'll be too harsh and startle her. Here. I hand her the scrubs and wave to her top. You got some blood on you. Thought you might want to change. Her nostrils flare, and I smile. Don't be stubborn. Take it. Don't tell me what to do. I love this, her fierceness. My smile widens when she snatches it out of my hand. She doesn't bother turning around, just whips off her t-shirt and is halfway into the scrubs when she steps into the sliver of sunlight peeking through the window blinds. Just like that, my humor dries up. What the fuck is this? I run my finger over the purple marks on her arm. It looks like a hand wrapped around her. Slowly, I turn her to the other side where I find a matching bruise. Is this from... I should have killed him last night instead of breaking his nose. She shrugs out of my hold, and though her stance is strong, legs apart, chin up, her voice wavers. When you went out back to check on Cody, your wife and Jamie threw me out of the house. She's not my wife. I stalk closer, backing her up against the wall and cup her face. Baby, he touched you? It pains me to say those words. She tries to look away, but I tilt her chin up. Don't hide from me. I take a breath. Did he touch you? The scrubs wrap around the front of her chest and forearms. Slender pink straps from her bra peek up over her shoulders. She's so vulnerable like this, bare and half-clothed. The thought of James hurting her makes me want to punch a hole through the drywall. Those big hazel eyes water, so much emotion brimming between us. A single tear spills over her lashes.
Yes, he dragged me out of the house. Threw me down on the ground.
I'm almost grateful I don't have my shotgun, because at this very moment, I'm tempted to use it on that asshole. Motherfucker. I take a breath to calm down before leaning closer. I'm so sorry he hurt you, and that I wasn't there to stop him. If I ever see that lowlife again, I will end him. Like a dam that breaks, her choked sob nearly does me in, and I whisper more apologies, whisper how much she means to me, how much I love her.
Then, why didn't you say anything last night?
She's wiping her cheeks, and I stop her. I deserve to see each drop fall, to feel every bit of her pain.
Why didn't you call me afterward, or come over or something? I felt so stupid watching my phone, thinking you'd call.
Misery overwhelms me to know I did this to her. God, I'm sorry. Cody broke his arm and...
What?
Her small fists land on my shoulders, her eyes huge saucers. Remembering what happened, seeing my son crumpled on the ground... hits me with a wave of helplessness. He fell off the swing set, and we weren't sure if he also lost consciousness. After the doctors set his arm in a cast, they wanted to keep him here for observation overnight. My phone died, but as soon as he was discharged this morning, I got him comfortable at home and came to find you. By the time my cell charged in my truck, I was almost home and wanted to talk face to face with Tori. My mom's with him now. A trembling hand covers her mouth.
Oh my God, is he okay?
He was pretty shaken. Hell, I was too. The last 24 hours have been pure madness. From nearly breaking my hand on James's face to carrying Cody into the ER and watching Tori deliver Kat's baby, my emotions are wrung out. She hugs me, and I close my eyes. I know she still has to be hurt from what happened last night, but here she is, comforting me. So with my nose in her silky hair, I tell her what's been eating at me, gnawing at me. I should have said something last night. I wish I could rewind the whole evening and do it differently. At first, I was pissed that James knew so much about you that I didn't. I was straight up jealous. Insanely jealous. Out of my mind jealous. I trace her shoulder with my lips, up her slender neck, behind the soft lobe of her ear. I hated the idea of him touching you, baby, being with you, loving you. Even now, I have to close my eyes to stave off the anger. This possessiveness is new to me. I've never been a jealous guy or felt the need to mark my territory, but I'm different with Tori. I want her in a way I've never wanted another woman. I need her to forgive me for my missteps last night, but I have to know. Why didn't you tell me about that shit in college, about the way James screwed you over? That monster threw her in a goddamn closet while his wife gave him head. No wonder Tori gave me the hairy eyeball at the beginning of the summer. I'd have trust issues too after that experience. Her tears wet her flushed cheeks, and I kiss them away, one by one.
I felt ashamed, Ethan.
She hiccups and shakes her head.
It was all so humiliating. Jamie turned into such a creeper after we broke up, stalking me, sending me flowers, trying to talk to my friends about me. I'd let what happened with him suck me into a downward spiral that I never really recovered from. Failed out of school, couldn't get my shit together. It's one of the reasons I wanted to be near my sister, to regroup.
Fuck. It hurts to hear all the ways he tormented her. Last night I was reeling from shock that this friend I looked up to and respected had not only cheated on his wife, but was a scumbag to you. He had me completely fooled. I'd known James through Felicia since she and Allison grew up together, but he and I became tight when he helped me renovate my house. At the time, I had thought he was someone to admire, someone I should emulate. What a fucking joke. Years later, when he told me he was struggling with temptation, he made it sound like he'd only been flirting around, not cheating. Not that I condone either behavior, but clearly he was sugarcoating the truth. Tori chews on her nail.
Why didn't you know about my driving record? Didn't you do a background check?
That was Logan's doing. He said he had it covered and that you were cool. I should totally kick his ass for lying to me, but I can guess what he was thinking. That he liked you as a person and knew Kat and Brady and trusted them.
I'm sorry. I should have said something when he brought up my internship at the law firm.
Her lips twist and her eyes cast down.
All of this stuff in my past was so embarrassing, and I didn't want you to see me differently or think I couldn't handle watching Cody and Mila. Didn't want you to see me the way my family does.
That gives me pause. What are you talking about? They love you. Did you see the same woman I did today? Delivering Kat's baby in a pickup with nothing but towels from a diner, hand sanitizer, and a turkey baster? You're a hero, honey. I'm not sure I would have been so even-keeled, and I've delivered a dozen falls over the years. She laughs through her tears, the realization of what she did shining in her eyes.
I did do that, huh?
You kicked ass. I'm so fucking proud of you. I drag my lips against hers, moaning when she opens to me. I'm ready to make all kinds of promises to this girl when the door bangs open and we pop apart. A nurse wheeling in a very pregnant woman glares at us, and I laugh as I help Tori put on her scrubs. Sorry about that, ma'am. Grabbing Tori's hand, I drag her out because we need more time to talk. Chapter 54. Ethan. The windshield wipers thump noisily back and forth on my truck, barely swiping away the rain before my visibility drops to zero again.
This is crazy,
Tori murmurs next to me. Nothing like a summer storm. This one blew in out of nowhere, darkening the afternoon sky and backing up traffic. Tori wanted to love up on Cody before she returned to her sister's to prepare for the baby's arrival, so I said I'd drive her. Told her I didn't mind dropping her back off at the hospital tomorrow either. Life is hectic for both of us right now, but if I have to play chauffeur to see her a few minutes each day, then so be it, because I need to be with my girl. Despite our talk at the hospital, she's been quiet on the drive to the ranch. I'm about to ask her if she's okay when the rain gets so intense I have to pull off down an access ramp. I'd rather wait out the storm for 10 minutes than get in an accident. We take the first exit, winding along an isolated road, and end up in a parking lot behind a deserted warehouse. I shift my truck into park. What you thinking about over there? I thread my fingers through hers. Lay it on me. Her thumb slides back and forth across my hand.
How is this supposed to work?
With a sad sigh, she pulls away.
I understand everything that happened with Jamie, and I totally get where you were coming from and what happened last night with him. But what I can't reconcile is where I stand with you and Allison. Jamie told me you guys were talking on the phone every day and you have photos of her all over the house.
Let me clear this up. Tori is jealous. Glad I'm not the only one who loses it over this kind of thing. Allison called me every day, left messages to ask about stupid shit or tell me she had invited someone else to the party. Since you left to your sister's, I've only talked to her once on the phone. I reached for her hand again. As for those photos, I never wanted Mila to miss her mama. She started having nightmares, and I thought keeping pics of our family might help her. But she stopped having those a few weeks after you moved in with us. So maybe it's time to tuck them away. That wrinkle in her forehead smooths for a second, but then reappears.
Oh, no.
She shakes her head.
The kids should have those photos. That makes sense. Oh, I sound crazy.
No, you don't. I kiss her wrist. What else? Tell me what else happened last night. Her shoulders slump.
It was bad.
She swallows.
She threw me out of your house, Ethan. She threatened to call the cops for a whole host of made-up reasons.
She fills me in on how Allison told her off after I ran to check on Cody, and my blood starts to boil all over again, making me even more confident in my decision. Baby, I don't want you to worry. There is no me and Allison.
How can you say that? You guys are signing that co-op deal this week, and she made it clear she intends to reconcile with you.
Trust me when I say it won't be a problem. That gets me an eye roll. She huffs and turns toward the window, which is fogged over. Unclicking my seatbelt and then hers, I scoop her out of her seat and into my lap. That gets me a glare.
Seriously?
I shrug. What? I want to make sure you're hearing me when I say this. Are you listening? After another eye roll, she nods and settles in my arms. This is simple. I'm not going through with the co-op. Not with her, at least.
What are you talking about? How do you plan to pay her back that money?
I rest my hand on her thigh. Logan and I talked about it in the ER last night. After I told Logan what happened in the kitchen, he and I decided we're not moving forward with Allison as a partner. I've never been more grateful than last night to have my brother by my side. Once he knew Cody would be okay at the hospital, he got a ride home from a friend so he could get back to Mila, who was with our mom. We love the co-op idea, though, so we're spending the next few weeks trying to find an investor or two. Just not Allison. I run my thumb along the hem of Tori's scrubs. She showed her true colors yesterday, and I plan to fight for sole custody with no shared visitations if she threatens me.
Oh, wow.
I haven't wanted to play dirty, to drag her through the mud, but I will if she pushes me. I'm tired of her shit and disgusted with the way she treated you. The way she treats the kids, like they're an afterthought. The idea of getting back with her is so fucking insane. I'm still shocked she went there. Allison didn't even bother to come to the hospital last night. After she saw our son wailing and hurt and crying for her, she left with Felicia. That's all I need to know about where her loyalties lie. I tangle my fingers in Tori's hair and move her closer. I feel like crap. I wasn't there to protect you. My house is your home, too, and I want you to be comfortable there. Her eyes get misty.
Thanks. That means a lot to me.
You mean a lot to me. You mean everything. I stroke her soft cheek.
I love you, Tori. So much. I love you, too.
Her eyes shift down, and an embarrassed smile tilts her lips.
I've sort of had it bad for you for a while now.
Oh, yeah? I kiss her neck, and she shivers in my arms. You cold, baby? She nods and turns her face toward me.
But I'm thinking you could warm me up.
That's an idea I can get behind. Glad we're parked off the beaten path, I scoot her around so she can straddle my lap. Except my hand gets trapped between her and the door, and I wince.
What's wrong?
She asks. I tilt her toward the passenger seat so I can slide my hand free. When she sees the bruises, she gasps.
Did I do that just now?
She takes my hand in hers. No, it's from last night, from breaking James's nose. Her mouth drops open.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. And had I known what he'd done to you in my own damn house, I would have given him a bigger ass beating. Christ, he must have gone after Tori before he and I got into it. I had gotten Cody situated in the back of my truck with Logan so we could take him to the ER, and as I rounded the front of the vehicle, James got in my face to trash-talk Tori. I'm not usually a man to break out a left hook, but between the vile things he was spouting about my girlfriend and my son's injury, my emotions were running high. Now that I know he basically stalked Tori after she found out he was married, I think the shithead was jealous. Concern fills her eyes.
Are you okay? Does it hurt?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I glance out the window that's still blurry with rain and condensation to mask my smile.
But, you know, if you kiss it, I might feel better.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see the worry in her expression slowly morph into a sultry smirk.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely. Could help with the swelling. Speaking of, I shift underneath her to make more room. With another flick of my wrist, I slide my seat back and recline a bit. Better. Those pouty lips dust over my knuckles before she whispers,
"What else hurts? What else can I make feel better?"
She rocks in my lap, and I groan. Reaching up, I untie her bun, and all that hair tumbles over us. Setting aside the jokes, I tell her the truth. "Without you, everything hurts." Her eyes turn hazy, those lips parting with a deep breath, electricity and love and some crazy goddamn chemistry sparking between us. Our mouths crash together. Somewhere in the universe, stars collide. We scramble to get closer, to get skin to skin. I'm so hard, my groin aches. Her shirt goes flying, then mine, until my gorgeous woman is only wearing that sheer pink bra and mesh shorts, so I know she can feel how hot I am for her as she thrusts against me. I'm ravenous, biting her neck, sucking on her tight little nipples through the lace, squeezing her luscious ass, sliding my hand into her underwear and reveling at how wet she is for me. Her hands fumble with my fly until she's pulling me out and stroking my cock that juts out to greet her. With a grunt, I shove my jeans down to make more room, and then I'm tugging her shorts and underwear to the side so we can rub without any barriers. The feel of her, hot and slick, makes me clench my eyes shut. "Baby, you feel so good."
"You're about to feel better."
I'm reaching for my wallet when it hits me. Damn it, I don't have any condoms. I gave the last one in my wallet to my brother the other night when he had a date. Tori and I are panting and out of breath when she caresses my face.
"You know I'm on the pill, but on a scale of 1 to 10, if I were to get pregnant, how freaked out would you be? Not that I'm looking to make this happen, just asking as a barometer."
An automatic smile stretches across my face. That's an easy answer. I wouldn't be freaked out at all. I'd love to have babies with you someday. God's honest truth. Never thought I'd be in a place to make long-term plans with another woman again. But when I look at Tori, I see my future stretched out before me, and I want it all with her. Her eyes get shiny, and she gives me a soft kiss.
"And you love me, right?"
"So damn much."
"Then maybe we don't have to use condoms."
She studies me, her words cautious.
"It would be a first for me, but I want to feel you."
Fuck yes. The idea of taking her bare is too intense, and I can't hold back. Like an explosion of light and energy, we slam back together, kissing and biting and grinding against each other like we might die if this doesn't happen. Sweat builds along my back and chest, the steam from our bodies making the windows opaque against the rainstorm outside. Reaching between us, she guides me into her tight heat, sliding her hips back and forth and wedging me in. It's a snug fit because I haven't done much to prepare her, but based on her moans, she is loving this as much as I am.
"Ethan, oh my God. I know, baby. You feel so good."
Finally, her ass hits my thighs, and she grabs onto the roof handle with one hand and my knee with the other. I shove her bra down so her swollen tits spill over and suck her nipples to the same rhythm she's using to impale herself on my cock. I help her glide up and down, the friction so insane, I'm out of my mind for her, for this. Oh, need you to come, I grit out, pushing my hand into her panties and rubbing her clit in those tight circles I know she loves. I make the mistake of looking down, of seeing how we're connected, her bare mound moving over my glistening length, taking me in, and I almost lose control. Dragging my other hand into her hair, I pull her face to mine and kiss her. Bliss is sizzling at my spine, and I'm so damn close that when she starts to contract around me, I can't hold back any longer. My orgasm barrels through me like a cannonball. Pretty sure I curse or yell, but for the life of me, I can't make sense of the words coming out of my mouth because I'm coming so hard. Tori's whole body arches, and I tuck my forehead to her chest as we pulse together, her body milking mine until she collapses against me. Dear Jesus, that was awesome. Drowsy and near delirious with endorphins, I hold her to me and try to catch my breath. I think I died and went to heaven. I pant with a laugh. She makes a sleepy, contented sound against the crook of my neck.
Let's just stay here like this and not move.
Okay. Pretty sure we're making a mess all over our clothes, but I can't bring myself to care. I run my palm along her back. Oh, love you, baby. Her lips tilt into a smile along my skin.
Love you too.
She snuggles on top of me, and I let my eyes fall closed, too content to move.
Got any plans this weekend? Been wanting to take you on that date.
My voice is dry and a bit hoarse.
Sorry I've done everything ass backwards, but I'd like to take you out.
And make you mine, permanently.
I'd like that.
She kisses my neck.
Will it be chaperoned, Mr. Carter?
I rub her round bottom. Not sure you can control yourself around me, huh? I give her a hip thrust, seeing how I'm still nestled deep inside her. A half moan, half giggle escapes her.
Where you're concerned, definitely not.
Darling, that makes two of us.
Epilogue. 1 year and 4 months later. Tori. There are a lot of should-haves in this world. Like, I should've studied harder in school. I should've listened to my parents more growing up. I should've partied less in college. But I wouldn't change any mistake in my past because they've brought me here, to this point, with the people I love most in this world.
Guys, squish in closer, the photographer yells. My family jostles together, my mom shivering in the chilly air. I wanted to do official family photos for the holidays, and since everyone loved the idea, we've all trekked down to San Antonio to do a special shoot at the Riverwalk. It's lit up with twinkle lights for the holidays. Every branch of every cypress tree that lines the sleepy waterway is glowing bright. The festive air grows as the late afternoon sky turns to dusk and more tourists bustle along the cobblestone footpath. Brady's parents and Ethan's brood stand off to the side, watching my sister and me pose with our mom and dad in an alcove that extends over the water. Behind us, another tourist barge floats by, the sound of laughter and merriment spilling over. The flash goes off. Holy crap, that's bright. Ethan winks at me, and I smile a big, goofy grin, my heart doing a twirly whirl in my chest. He and I have been going strong since the summer I took that nanny job.
After Cody's disastrous birthday party, even though Ethan and I were on the same page about moving forward in our relationship, we also decided we needed to take things slower, for the sake of the kids, for the sake of his divorce, for my own sanity. Anyway, I thought it would be easier for him to fight for custody if he didn't have his new girlfriend shacking up with him. So I stayed with my sister and helped her with baby Annie and Izzy and took classes 2 days a week in Austin for a semester to finish my degree. Living with my sister had its advantages. Besides being able to spoil my nieces, Kat tutored me, and I totally aced my classes. She also taught me how to balance the books for her lavender business, and with the right training, I found I was pretty decent at it. When Ethan heard I was doing my sister's accounting, he wanted to hire me to do the same for Carter Cutting Horses. Tori Duran, decent at math? Who knew? I sure as hell didn't. But since bookkeeping is largely done on the computer, I'm not taxing my big brain too much. Working for him also gave me an excellent reason to be at the ranch several days a week. But Ethan was serious about taking me on dates, about wooing me like some hero in an old black-and-white movie. Even if some weeks he was so tired all he did was make me dinner, he made me feel special. My favorite nights, though, are the ones where he wraps me in a blanket under the stars. Our first big date was here, actually, at the Riverwalk. So today, as I look around this beautiful setting, all I can think about is how he kissed me right in this very spot and told me how much he loved me. It's pretty sweet that he suggested we take our photos here.
Great, let's switch things around.
The photographer motions for Brady and his family to move in so he and Kat can get their family's pic. I'm stepping out of the shot when Brady calls my name.
Where are you going? Get back in here, doofus.
He's holding a slobbery Annie in one arm and Izzy with the other.
We can't do a family portrait without my little sister.
I smile like an idiot and squish back in. Nerves twist in my stomach. Ethan's family is up next. Will they want me in their photo? Logan is hugging his mom to keep her warm, and Joey is holding everyone's coats when they step into the photo. Poor girl. I'm really hoping Logan offers to take a pic with her, because if he just brought Joey along to be our bellhop, I'll throttle him. Next to them, Cody is climbing up his dad. Cody's almost 3 and a half now, all rough and tumble boy, and still 100% adorable. His arm healed well, thank God. Mila smiles at me over her cup of hot chocolate. She and her brother have had a tough time with their mom, who finally admitted to Ethan she stood to gain a substantial inheritance from her late grandfather, but the stipulation in the will required her to be married, which explains why Allison wanted to reconcile with her ex-husband all of a sudden that summer. Ethan didn't have to rake her through the mud to maintain sole custody of the children. She met a guy, got married, probably to inherit that money, and lost what little interest she had in her kids. As for the money Ethan owed her, since she had her grandfather's inheritance, she was less dogged about the situation. Ultimately, she agreed to getting repaid within 3 to 5 years, which meant she and Ethan would save the massive fees they were forking over to their attorneys because they didn't drag it out in court. The day that was settled, Ethan asked me to move in with him, which I did in a heartbeat. My parents weren't thrilled, but where's the fun if I'm not keeping them on their toes? They do love Ethan and his kids, though, so they've been supportive and not too judgy. The photographer claps and motions for Ethan's crew to move in. I step out with my family, but a hand wraps around mine and tugs me back.
Come on, sweetness.
Ethan's voice, low and raspy in my ear, sends chills down my arms.
You know you belong in this one. You're my family, too.
If there was snow on the ground, I'd be making snow angels. Instead, I bite my lip to contain my smile a smidge, but he's laughing, so I know he sees it. He's exhausted from his trip to Fort Worth, but you'd never know it by how chatty he's been today with my family. I guess it helped that he did so well at the futurity, nabbing first place in his division. It's been a team effort to help him and his brother attend the contests, and I have to be honest, I like being on a team, especially his team. Between his winnings and how business is booming on the ranch, Ethan has been able to hire more help. That means we always have time to take the kids to the zoo or enjoy a late-night baseball game on TV. After several more pics, the photographer tells us we're done, but Ethan waves at her.
I'd like to get a group shot of all of us, if that's okay.
It's a tight fit, but Brady, Kat, and their kids stand on one side, both sets of parents on the other. Then Ethan's clan all get on their knees in the front. I start to move down too, but my sister tugs on my hand. What? Should I stand? She gives me the strangest smile. Yes, I think you're supposed to stand for this part. But I'm in the middle of the front row. Won't it be weird? Except, I look down and... Whoa. The flash goes off. Ethan is on one knee, holding up a small velvet box. Oh my God! I jump up and down. Yes! Our families laugh, and Ethan gives me a wide smile.
Baby, I think you're supposed to wait until I ask.
I laugh, my pulse racing. I can be quiet, I think. Taking my hand in his, he clears his throat.
Tori, in such a short time, you've become everything to me. My best friend, my soulmate, my confidant. Thank you for bringing me back to life, for showing me how to take challenges in stride, for believing in me. I love you like I've never loved anyone else, and it would be my greatest honor if you'd be my wife.
That sound? That's the sound of my heart melting all over the pavement. I love you too, Ethan, he blurs through my tears. Can I say yes now? I whisper. When he nods, I tackle him in a hug. Yes! The flash keeps going off, and there's a crowd of tourists oohing and aahing, and I'm crying all the tears. His strong arms wrap around me, and he sits me on his knee.
You might want to see the ring before you say yes,
he jokes. I grab his handsome face in my hands. You could give me a trinket out of a vending machine and I'd still say yes. Truth. Those baby blue eyes on my rugged man missed a little.
But my girl deserves diamonds.
He opens the velvet box and pulls out a blinding ring with a stunning rock in the middle and a gazillion small diamonds all around.
It's an eternity setting, because that's how long I plan to love you.
Sniffling, I tuck my face into his neck because I'm overwhelmed. Love you too, so, so much. I breathe him in and take a minute to count my blessings. Does this mean we get to ride off into the sunset? Gently, he lifts my face to his and wipes away the tears.
Absolutely. You'll be mine, he whispers. Always and forever.
I smile against his kiss. Always and forever. Once upon a time, I didn't believe in fairy tales. But then I found my prince, and we saved each other.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Reckless. Written by Lex Martin. Performed by Savannah Peachwood and Stephen Dexter. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzik. Producer Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2018 by Lex Martin. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.